three or four years ago, there was a bit of a surge in home baking. Sourdough starters started to be swapped from home to home, in some places anyway. And then life went back to relatively normal for most of us, and a lot of the bread makers went back into the cupboard. But some bakers continue to push for the perfect loaf of bread. What does that take to produce the kind of loaf that has top-end restaurants lining up for a slice? Mike Russell knows. He is the co-founder of Baker Bleu, which has outlets in Sydney and Melbourne, and he's written a new book on their baking practice. It's called Baker Bleu, Bake It Till You Make It. Just tell me if I'm getting that right. Can we just say Baker Bleu, or yeah, do we Frenchify
it? Exactly, at Baker Bleu. That's okay, perfect. Cool. I mean, I think that's why I named it with the sort of French spelling, so you can. It's not serious, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Look, I thought it was you were going to say in order to confuse people.
Well, I mean, maybe that as well, yeah.
Bread is interesting, isn't it? Because it's the most basic of substances and humans have been eating it for millennia, but it's also the fanciest of things that we bake in some ways.
It captivates people. People get hooked on it because it's a process that, even though it's so simple, it involves so many variables, ingredients, the weather, you know, the environment that you're in. It's a lot of people go down a rabbit hole and either love it or give up on it or So I think, you know, it's everyone's sort of course and adventure. Yeah.
How did you go down that rabbit hole? Because you did a media arts degree and spent time writing ads, and I don't see a clear pathway from there to baking.
No. Look, it was interesting. And I think that as a stepping stone, I was always interested in having a business and making something. And, you know, it talks about it in the book where at one point I was considering, you know, getting into pig farming because I thought I want to make charcuterie or something like that.
That's a long road between pig raising and
charcuterie. I know. And then, so, you know, bread was one of those things that we just said captivated me because I love the end-to-end process. And really, once I started, I got a copy of a book called Sullivan Street Bakery by Jim Lee, and it sort of has a really basic core recipe to produce bread at home. And from that moment, I was hooked. And the evolution of that first purchase of that book to like where we are now, me writing my own book and having a business, it's something I never let go of. Yeah.
Well, did you do much baking as a kid, or did you just have this search in your 20s?
No, I did. I did a lot of sort of cooking at home through, like, you know, baking cakes and that sort of thing, and making a mess in the kitchen. But really, I think, you know, once I got into bread and sort of started that, I started working in kitchens and it honed into bread, I guess, after working in a couple of different kitchens and working in pastry, but bread was the real focus.
But you had to fight for it, didn't you? People said you were too old.
I did, yeah. A lot of family members and just sort of, you know, applying for jobs, and they'll say, well, what have you been doing before? And I'm like, well, I was doing something different. I'd like to try and do this now, and I'll even do it for free. Was a lot of the sort of, you know, it was a different world to what we sort of live in now, even though it doesn't seem that long ago. Trying to get a start in a kitchen now was completely different than trying to get a job in a kitchen now, where people would be like, please come and work. We'll labor shortages, we'll train you, whatever. Yeah. Before it was like, no, we're full kind of thing. I think that my journey's been very different. And I think, you know, there's a really nice sort of story that starts the book off. And I think people can really maybe be motivated by, yeah.
Well, we're speaking with Mike Russell from Baker Bleu, which has a couple of shops in Melbourne, one in Sydney as well. And he's written a book called Baker Bleu, Bake It Till You Make It, which is basically what he did. I mean, is the reality true, that stereotype of that we have of, you know, you get up at 2 a.m. before you went to bed and go and bake bread in the pre-dawn? Is that what you had to do?
Yeah. I mean, look, each bakery or each business has a different format or method to how to produce a loaf of bread. But, you know, it's either starting work in the afternoon and working all the way through until, you know, sort of started working at 5 p.m. and working all the way through to 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning, which is very grueling. Or there's a sort of another process where, you know, all the loaves rest overnight for a long process and have a really long fermentation period. And you'd start early in the morning to bake off first, so sort of 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And then you'd finish maybe in the late morning or early afternoon. Yeah, so not easy hours, whatever sort of, you know, system, because, you know, everyone wants bread in the morning, and that's when you're sort of, you know, you've got to start at least 4 hours beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And the best place to sell out by 7:30. It's like, if you're not there when they're open, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So you had to be really committed to bread.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was very lucky that I was, you know, at that point, able to work in some of the really the best bakeries at the time in Sydney and Melbourne that were at the forefront of their craft. And so, you know, getting an opportunity timing wise and persistence, I guess, was one of the key things that sort of, you know, built my craft. So it was a push and a bit of a struggle. But I mean, look, I think you only really, for anything you're passionate about, you can have all the strength and the energy in the world to pursue that, you know, sort of, you know, that passion.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, say, good sourdough, it's only in the last kind of 10 or 20 years that that's become a mainstream obsession. Like there were communities that really invested in bread and loved bread and cultural traditions that you know, prioritise bread. But mainstream Australian culture has really got on the bandwagon lately, haven't they?
100%. I mean, look, you can all, with bread making, you can kind of, there's a sort of a forensic outlay of like where certain bakers have come from within Australia, and Melbourne actually, you know, has a lot of history. You know, when we talk about a lot of history in bread making, sourdough bread making, sort of the 90s, going back to Natural Tucker Bakery,
Babka in Fitzroy,
and so then there's this sort of, you know, bakers that have worked in those institutions that sort of trickle down into the places that we know today. And, you know, and the same in Sydney with, you know, Sonoma and Bourke Street and that sort of thing, where these bakers have either learnt their craft overseas or, you know, they've come back to Sydney to sort of open up a business. The story for Australia now is continuing to evolve because, you know, people are pushing it in different directions. So those people that worked in those bakeries, those foundation bakeries and artisan sourdough bakeries, are now opening their own businesses, much like myself. It's we're very lucky to have a lot of great bakeries.
Well, we are, but do you think it's ever going to hit parity with supermarket bread in terms of price? Because it's literally twice the price of, you know,
That's a really interesting discussion. There was an article in The Guardian actually last week in the UK about the £5 loaf threshold, you know, because supermarkets, the artisan loaf is creeping up above £5, whereas the supermarkets are sort of around 46p for like a white sliced, you know, tin loaf. And so it's a class divide through the simple loaf of bread. And that's something that we talk about at the bakery. There being, you know, no matter all the external sort of pressures on a business, the price of ingredients, the cost of labor, which is, you know, moving up, is you have to be affordable still. Even though it's artisan, it's every day. And that's the argument with a loaf of bread. It's a really interesting topic. And we do everything we can without compromising on the ingredients. And obviously with labor, you know, you have to become more efficient, and often that means machinery, but you're still producing an artisan loaf. It's a really, we could talk about it forever.
Well, yeah, I just am fascinated because, you know, sourdough used to be the peasant bread, you know, and wholemeal was the peasant bread, and just bread has gone through these amazing arcs over history.
Well, baguettes were what, you know, everyone wanted previously, and the miche loaf was not what people wanted in the, you know, post-industrial sort of evolution in France. Yeah, it's super interesting.
And now people want a round loaf, whereas it used to be like a sandwich-shaped loaf. Yeah. Mike Russell is with us today, the co-founder of Baker Blue. I could talk about bread all day. And luckily, I think we have a few more minutes to talk about what you look for in a really good loaf of bread. Because, as you say, there's lots of different processes for some of the most simple food that we own and the most basic and important foods that we eat. Mm-hmm. What is the hallmark for you of a tip-top loaf of bread? Look, what a terrible thing to have said. I'm really sorry I said that.
I guess, you know, it's a sort of a combination of, you know, a really good crust, because crust is often flavor, but then, you know, having a beautiful texture as well for, you know, nice eating quality, and lots of depth of flavor. So, you know, a sourdough loaf traditionally, because you're fermenting longer, it's naturally fermented, so it's not fermenting quickly with, you know, industrial sort of commercial yeast. So hallmark for me in a sourdough loaf is great color on the crust, a crust that has like texture and a depth of flavor, because it's long fermented, you know, so it's a real balance of sort of, you know, flavor and texture. That for me in essence is a hallmark of a great loaf. Yeah.
So do you have to taste it, Mike, or can you just kind of squish it a bit with your hand?
I think, yeah, well, you have to, you can, on looking at it, you can see, I mean, I can say that, yeah, that's a great loaf of bread, or that's not a great loaf of bread. But yeah, also tasting is also going to tell you about how good the flavour is.
Well, and speaking of flavour, if you've got tips for people about home bread making, how important is your starter and the other ingredients? What's going to be the most important thing to focus on?
Look, they're all important, but you know, you won't be able to produce a loaf of sourdough bread without a healthy starter. In the book, we talk about it at length because that's often the foundation, the building blocks of a healthy loaf of bread. So, like, cultivating a healthy starter is paramount. But then, you know, having a healthy starter is also having really good ingredients. So, sort of a stone ground flour or a flour that's been, you know, milled with local grain, and you've, you know, purchased from a great supplier and it's reasonably fresh. So then that flour is going to produce a great starter on its own. So once you have that healthy starter, making sure, you know, you've got, again, beautiful flour from, you know, an Australian grower that's been, you know, milled pretty reasonably. It's not too old. It's not like 4 months old or something like that.
Just thinking about the back fresh. Of my cupboard now.
Yeah, and then, you know, great salt and filtered water, and, you know, then, you know, making a variable loaf. So if you're using different whole grain or varietal grain, so emmer, spelt, coruscant, so that's also a great stepping stone. You know, but fundamentally, great starter and then great ingredients produce like a great loaf of bread. They work in, you know, together with each other.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that you're probably going to have to look at all those different things.
Yeah.
Well, and before we leave you today, Mike, you mentioned in the book that you once had something called burning mouth syndrome. So I can't let you go without asking what that is.
Well, when we first started the bakery, I would, you know, we outgrew the oven that we had. And so, you know, trying to push all of this bread through this small oven that we had in the very beginning. And the oven was almost the same height as me. So I'd just stand in front of this oven, you know, loading in loaves and unloading them for maybe, you know, 8, 9 hours, 10 hours at a time. I was almost cooking myself, you know, the hairs on my arm sort of, you know, singed off. I was red around the eyes, and I had this burning mouth syndrome. Basically, you know, dry cooking, and, you know, anything like drinking filter coffee or black coffee is you know, I went to the doctor and said, like, what's this all about? Like, you know, is there an imbalance here or something? That's just, and he discussed, you know, like being dry and sort of, you know, we talked about what I was doing at the time. And he's like, oh, you've got burning mouth syndrome from spending too much time in front of an oven. But look, that's luckily we're past that point. Yeah.
Okay. We changed our oven. What did you have to do? Get a suit of armor?
Well, no, I just, you know, I remember in the early days of the bakery, in the depths of winter, going down to Port Phillip Bay, and it'd be me and the Labradors, the only things at the water at sort of like 9 a.m. after finishing the bake. Yeah, just to cool down, yeah,
from the steam.
Yeah, cool the body down. Yeah,
wow. So everyone, that's what goes into a really amazing loaf of bread that you've picked up from the bakery. Mike Russell, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks.
It's a pleasure. The co-founder of Baker Blue, the new book's called Baker Blue: Bake It Till You Make It, for pretty obvious reasons.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.